Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We hope that you enjoy this message and that it speaks to your heart.
So today I want to continue a series that I've been in for the last few weeks called The Invitation. The Invitation, and the subtitle is this: Accepting God's Call to Ride for Him. Accepting God's Call to Ride for Him. Now, I don't know what your dream invitation is, but I'll tell you a few of mine, okay? So if I was to be invited to maybe spend a day with an individual that I could, you know, spend the day with, that was maybe one of my heroes, it would be Lane Frost. Anybody? Anybody with me? Yeah, I mean, how cool would that be? If he was still alive, if I was be able to be invited to spend a day with him, that would be an amazing thing. The other thing is, if I was invited by some rich people to be able to go and attend the Kentucky Derby, anybody? How cool would that be? That would be awesome. So getting to go to the Kentucky Derby, if I was invited to do that, the other thing that I thought about just the other day, because my son's into hunting now, and we watch this show on television, anybody ever heard of Jim Shockey? Anybody? Jim Shockey hunting, Jim Shockey adventures, Uncharted. You know, you watch these videos of Jim Shockey hunting and you just want to go shoot something. Because he's, I mean, over 30 years of hunting and guiding people in Canada, in Africa, in Tanzania. I mean, all over the country he's shown animals and they've been able to shoot them. And one of our passions in our family is hunting. And so if I was ever invited, like if they ever had a pastor appreciation and you guys wanted to get me something, it would be a hunt. I'm just dropping hints today too. It would be a hunt with Jim Shockey. And I'm telling you, it's cheap. I mean, the hunts only start about $5,000. And so it's no big deal. You guys just put your money together. So anyways, so those, if I was to be invited to do any of those things, it would be a experience of a lifetime. Well, here's the application. Spiritually speaking, God has extended an invitation to us to experience the invitation of a lifetime. And it's with Him. To spend not just one day hanging out with Him, but to spend an eternity. And not just to go hunt for animals on this earth, but to hunt for the souls of man. I mean, think about it. We have been invited to share with God in reaching more people so that we can increase the population of heaven. There is no greater invitation than that. I don't know if you realize that or not, but there's no greater invitation. And you say, well, how do I get to be a part of this invitation? Well, here's some things that we've learned already. You ready for this? Number one is this: everyone's invited to ride with Christ. Everyone. It's not exclusive to church people that, you know, are good old boys. It's not exclusive to those that don't cuss. It's not exclusive to those that don't drink. It's not exclusive to those people. Everyone is invited. It's not an invitation-only kind of deal. Everyone has been invited to ride with Christ. That's the first thing that you got to understand. The second thing that you have to understand is this: we must accept His invitation. I mean, I can get invited to go hunt with Jim Shockey, and if I, you know, get invited, guess what? I have to accept the invitation so that I can actually experience the hunt of a lifetime, right? I mean, I got to accept it. Well, it's the same way with Christ. When we give, you know, get that invitation, which all of us have been invited, guess what? We must accept Him into our lives. It's not a, hey, I'm going to make you go with me. I'm going to make you ride with me. I'm going to make you do this. I'm going to make you love me. No, He says, it's your choice. I give you the invitation. Now you get to choose on whether you want to ride with me. And so the cool thing is, everyone's invited, but we must accept His invitation. And understanding those two things, here's the third thing that we focused in on last week, and I want to continue today. And it's number three, and it says this: we must accept God's invitation to ride for Him. See, there's a difference with riding with Him. I ride with Him when I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. But at some point, and here's this is a truth that all of us should be aware of. At some point, if you're riding with Him, then you ought to begin to desire, if you truly know Him, to ride for Him. Amen. Are you with me? It's not just about experiencing the love that Christ gives us, the forgiveness that he gives us, and the peace that he gives us, and the provision that he gives us, and everything else that he gives us. It's not about experiencing all those things. It turns from, okay, I've experienced that, now I want everybody else to experience, and so God, I want you to begin to work through me, not just in me. Does that make sense? And so we have to accept that invitation. He has extended an invitation for us to know him and to be forgiven. But then he says, guess what? Now I want you to ride for me. And the cool thing is, not only do you get to ride for him, but he rides with you every step of the way. I mean, it's not like he says, hey, man, go out there by yourself. No, he says, I'm going to ride with you the whole time. I'm going to be with you. You just accept my invitation and let's get busy. You say, well, what does that look like? What does it look like to ride for him? Well, Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament, gives us a beautiful example of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to look at this powerful scripture that shows us what it means to ride for Christ. You guys follow along with me as I read it. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten. We've been put in prison. We've faced angry mobs. We've worked to exhaustion. We've endured sleepless nights and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and in the left hand for defense. We serve God. Whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or whether they praise us, we are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our heart aches, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, yet we have what? Everything. We own nothing, but yet we have everything. Well, here's the thing. Last week, we looked at the first thing that I believe that shows us what it looks like to ride for him. Look at this with me. And it's the first thing that we learned. Riding for Christ means that we set a good example. Remember this from last week? It means that we set a good example. And you say, well, why does it say that? Or why is that the point? Well, look at verse 3 again. You can say the underlined words with me, but it says this. We what? We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. You say, well, what does all that mean? Well, here's what I've learned. One of the greatest obstacles for people accepting the invitation to be forgiven by Christ, guess what one of the greatest obstacles is? Our bad example. I told a story about how I wanted to choke a goat out. I actually did choke it out. I mean, it didn't die. So PETA, get out of here. But, you know, I told a story about how I struggle, and I struggle with that, and how I set a bad example for my kids in not treating that goat very nice. And guess what? It affects them. Guess what they're going to begin to start doing? They're going to begin to do what I do, not just what I say. Does that make sense? And so here's the thing. A lot of times, our bad example, we say one thing, but we do something that is totally contrary to what we've said. And guess what? It causes people to stumble, and they don't want to accept Christ's invitation to ride with him, right? But here's the greater obstacle that I believe that we fall into sometimes. And although all those things that we maybe are hypocritical at cause people to stumble, here's what I've learned. It's when we begin to think that we can hide our imperfections, hide our faults, and deny our faults, that's the true obstacle that people hate. Here's the deal. The world hates it, not that we're not perfect, but that we act perfect. Does that make sense? I mean, just think about it. I have all kinds of friends outside the church. They don't love Jesus. They don't, you know, come to church or any of that stuff. And again, they maybe look at my life and they see some of my failures. But at the end of the day, if I don't say, hey, I got this figured out. Hey, I'm a good guy. Hey, look at me. I'm the greatest guy ever. And I act fake and I act like I don't have any problems and I don't, you know, I got it all figured out and I have all the answers to life. Then they go, oh, I don't want none of that. Because you're not real. You're not authentic. And so just like we learned last week, Paul says, hey, I do what is wrong, and I know it. I don't want to do it. And so guess what? He says it's okay to admit your weaknesses because God's power is made perfect in your weakness. And so here's what I've learned. I can impress you with my strengths, but I connect with people through my weaknesses. I've learned that. And you say, well, Bo, does that mean you're supposed to go out and sin just so you can connect with people? No. I mean, it's not like, hey, I'm going to connect with people. I'm going to go out and sin. No, that's not what that means. But when I failed, it's okay to admit that I failed. But here's the cool thing about Paul and what he shows us as well. You know how else he sets a great example? He shows us when we fail who we need to return to so that we can find forgiveness and set a good example of who we need to turn to when we've failed. Does this make sense? And so not only does he say, man, I'm not a perfect person. I do things that I don't want to do because of the sin that lives in me. But at the same time, he goes, guess what? I'm going to run back to Christ and he's going to forgive me. And I'm going to move forward and I'm going to begin to ride for him again and again and again. Guess what? That sets a great example. My kids saw me fail when I tried to choke a goat out, but I apologized to my kids, and I'm trying to do better. I'm not perfect. See, I want to use it as an excuse, but some of you guys, come on, guys. I know that none of you guys have ever gotten angry with animals. Never. I haven't apologized to the goat. But here's the thing. I believe that that's a greater obstacle when we act like we're perfect. But it's a great example when we go to God and we say, okay, God, I'm wrong. I did wrong. I need you to confess, or I need you to forgive me of my sin so that I can move forward with you. Well, here's the thing. I want to look at another truth, and I'm going to be done for today. Another truth that we are called to live by if we're going to ride for Christ. And here we go. Look at verse 4 and 5 again. It says this. It says, in everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We what? We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten. We've been put in prison. We've faced angry mobs. We've worked to exhaustion. We've endured sleepless nights. And we've gone without food. And so you say, okay, but what's the second characteristic? If we're going to ride for Christ, what characteristics do we need to have? Well, again, number one, what was it? We need to set a good example. Well, number two is this. Riding for Christ means that we don't quit. Let me say it again. Riding for Christ means that we don't quit. We don't quit. I'll give you an example of a time that I wanted to quit. A couple of springs ago, I was in Canadian. We were dragging calves, working calves in a branding pen, and there was two ropers in the branding pen, and there was probably like 8 or 10 guys on the ground, and we all had a job. And I was on the left side with another guy who wasn't very big, and there was another crew on the other side, and they weren't, you know, they were doing their job as well, but there was two ropers, okay? And we were dragging these Charolais calves. And these Charolais calves had been out there a little long. And so they were like four weights. I mean, they were bigger. And if you know anything about Charolais calves typically have a little bit more muscle. And they're a little bit stouter. When you grab a hold of one, you kind of know that they're there. Well, here's what happened. One of the guys was roping a calf. And he got a hold of one of these four weight calves. And he got a hold of it by one back leg. Now, if you know anything about dragging calves, you know that that's a no-no. If you're going to drag a large calf, again, you're going to drag any calf, you need to drag it by two legs. But if you're going to drag one of the large calves, you need to make sure you get two legs. Because you're going to wear the ground crew out and they're going to want to cuss you up and down. Because you're bringing a huge calf by one leg, which makes it really, really hard. Now, here's what happens. So this guy, he ropes this calf by one hind leg, huge calf. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at my buddy Dusty. And Dusty's like, I don't know how, he's like 5'6" and, you know, weighs maybe like 112 pounds. And so I'm thinking, here we go. Here we go. This is going to be interesting. And so I had the tail and I somehow, you know, when calves, when they're coming towards you and the horse goes by and the rope's right there, and I think I had the tail and I was trying to pull the tail down. Well, that calf got wrapped around me and was, you know, trying to go around me. Well, I don't know how it happened, but I ended up on the ground and with one front leg in my grasp. I had a hold of one front leg, and I'm holding on for dear life. And somehow, I held on to that calf the whole time until the other guys came over and called me off and said, let go, and they flanked the calf, and we worked the calf. Now, again, you say, well, what's the point of that? Well, by the grace of God, I didn't let go. I'm right. I mean, I was there. I fought. I mean, it was, you know, it was hard and, you know, all that stuff, but I never let go. But here's the thing, and here's the point. In life, sometimes we face tough situations just like that soggy calf. I mean, just like that calf rode by one foot is, you know, trying to mow me over and trip me and make me fall on the ground. You can see the wrecks of life coming right at you. Right? I mean, I want you to think about it. I'll give you a few examples. You know, example like you have a loved one who's sick and you know they're fixing to die. You see that wreck coming right at you. You have, you know, the news that you've just lost the baby. You have the news that the economy is down and your boss needs to visit with you because your job's the next job on the chopping block. Well, here's the truth. God allows us to experience those things. And we go through the battles and the trials and the painful fights of life. But here's the thing. We've got to hold on. We cannot quit. I mean, I want you to think about this. If we just hold on long enough, if we have faith, if we pray, if we wait for God, God is eventually going to take hold of that soggy calf of our life and he's going to call us off and say, okay, let go so that I can go to work. This is hard. Because it's hard to face certain obstacles, certain trials, certain tribulations, certain loss, whatever it is, it's hard. But can I just tell you, God always shows up. And it may not be the way that we want it to be, but he always shows up. And we can't quit. Look at, I want you to look at what Paul went through. Look at it with me again. It says, in everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten. We have been put in prison. We had faced angry mobs. We worked to exhaustion. We endured sleepless nights and we had gone without food. You say, well, what's the point there? Well, here's the point. These things, think about it. Paul had gone through all of those things, but guess what he's still doing? He's still serving. He's still showing people the love of Christ. He's still living for Christ. He's still enduring even the hardships that he was facing at the moment that he was writing the, you know, this letter. He had not quit. And here's the I don't know if you noticed the two words that I don't like. But in verse 4 it says that we what? We patiently endure. I I don't know if that's hard for you, but that's hard for me. It's hard to watch my friends have to patiently endure hell as well. And you say, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to patiently endure? Well, the truth is, and this is hard, but it's actually we embrace the struggle. We just embrace it. I mean, I've tried to run from hell all my life. I've tried to run from situations that I knew weren't going to be fun all my life. But it's not until I learned that I have to embrace the trial. I have to embrace the struggle. I have to embrace it because I'll never get through it. I'll never find victory over it if I run from it. Does this make sense? And so you have to embrace the struggle. You have to trust Him in the struggle, which is hard. You have to have faith in the struggle. And guess what? When we do that, when we patiently endure, God says, guess what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that because the struggle is not very much of a blessing. And I don't know that I can hold on. I want to quit. Well, listen to what God says. In Galatians 6:9, it says this. So do not grow tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we what? If we don't give up. James 1:12 says this. God what? Blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. You say, but what's the crown of life? Well, can I just tell you, it's not glory and honor on this earth. It's not. You know what the crown of life is one of these days that we are going to be able to receive if we don't give up and if we've trusted in God and we're living for Him? You know what it is? It's eternal life. It's eternal life. I mean, that's going to be the greatest reward that we're going to ever experience. And if we work hard, and not that we can work for our salvation, but if we've accepted Him and we don't give up and we work to, you know, live for Him, guess what? We're going to receive some great blessings in heaven. Just being there is a great blessing. And you say, what else? I mean, what are the other blessings that come from patiently enduring trials and tribulations? Can I give you a few more examples and I'm done? Here's what I've learned. Enduring pain and loss, you know, it actually leads us to serve others. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when you go through the pain and the loss of some, you know, losing something or losing someone that you love or losing your job or whatever, when you go through that pain and that loss, guess what? You learn that the people that you're surrounded by, the church that you're surrounded by, the people that serve you in your time of loss, you learn how much that means. Are you with me? And because of the experience that you went through, you realize the love that is shared by others when they serve you. And because they served you in your painful situation, it leads you to want to serve others. Does that make sense? I mean, some of you guys have experienced maybe some pain, maybe the loss of a loved one or whatever. You've been served by our church. Someone provided meals. Someone provided prayer. Someone provided all these things for you. And guess what? Now you're on the team that does those things as well. Are you with me? Some of you guys have joined our Vittles team and you serve meals at funerals now. Some of you guys have joined the Howdy team because, again, maybe you lost, you know, a loved one and you began to, you know, receive love when you walk through the doors and you say, I'm going to serve people. I'm going to show people love because that's what I experienced when I was going through that hard time. The other thing that enduring trials shows, it also shows the power of God. You say, what are the blessings of going through that? Well, God is able to use His power through me when I experience my weak times. And people see it. People notice it. And guess what? It encourages them. It encourages them. Maybe you're never quitting and having faith in a certain situation. Here's another blessing. Sets an example for the next generation. I mean, when my kids see me you know, is struggling in my pain and in my loss or whatever, and they see me face it with faith and trust and glory to God, guess what? They're going to face it, their situations, hopefully the next time they face a situation with the same faith, the same trust, the same glory to God. You say, what are the blessings of all that? That's a great blessing right there, because you're setting an example on how to handle the situations. Here's the last thing that I think is a great blessing. And you say, well, I hope I don't ever experience this blessing. But here's the other thing. When we experience loss, and we are obviously comforted, it gives us an opportunity to be able to comfort others. You know why? Because we've experienced what they're experiencing. I'll give you an example in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says this. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort who? Others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Are you reading this? Look at verse 6. Even when what? When we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and your salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. You say, what's the greatest blessing? What's one of the greatest blessings of having to go through trials and experience and all that and not quitting? Guess what? So that you can comfort others. I'm telling you, it's the way it works. I've had people come to me when I've experienced some things that nobody else has experienced, and they go, you're going to be fine. You're going to be okay. And they have no clue what I've gone through because they've never experienced what I've gone through. But then I've had people that have experienced what I've gone through, and they come to me and they say, hey, don't quit. You can make it. And I listen. And they comfort me. You know why? Because they've been through the same thing. They've been through the same thing. I had a friend tell me one time I was going through a hard time. I was struggling. I didn't have any hope, nothing. And I had a friend. I was trying to seek some advice from a great godly friend. And he shared with me this statement. And I want to leave this with you today, and it's this simple statement. It says, when you come to the end of yourself, you come to the beginning of God. When you don't have anything else to hold on to, when you can't seem to go any further, guess what? That's when you come to the beginning of God. When you're at your weakest moment, when you hit rock bottom, when you have no strength, when you're at your wit's end, God says, now you're where I can use you. Now watch me work. And so maybe some of you are here today and you're at your wit's end. You're barely holding on. Just like I had a hold of that front leg of that calf. You're barely holding on. You're waiting. Waiting for God to call you off. Say, let go. So that I can work. Can I just ask you to do something? Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't let go. Until he says. Until he steps in. Do not let go until he shows up. Because he can handle it. Don't give up. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Some of you are here today and you know Christ. You're riding with him. But maybe you faced a certain struggle. Maybe you faced a certain dilemma in your life and you quit before he showed up. Maybe it was a marriage. Maybe it was a struggle. Maybe it was, you know, just a situation where you just quit. Can I just encourage you? Our God is a God of second chances. And He wants to give you one today. And so here's what I would ask you. If you know Jesus already and you quit Him once, or you've quit Him and you're maybe here today and you don't know why God brought you here today, can I just tell you, He brought you here so that you could confess whatever it is that you've done, give it over to Him, and recommit your life to Him. So maybe that's you. Can I just encourage you again? He's a God of second chances. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. And so maybe right there in your chair, you just need to ask God, say, okay, God, I need you to forgive me. I know I quit you. And I know I'm going to quit you again if I don't have your help. And so forgive me. Forgive me for quitting you. Forgive me for giving up before you showed up. I'm going to recommit my life to you today. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Listen, nobody's looking around. I just want to know so that I can pray for you. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo, I just recommitted my life. I know I quit God, and I know I need to, I know I just got right, and I just prayed that prayer with you. Would you just raise your hand so that I can see it? Thank you. All across the barn, thank you. Listen, don't give up. You're going to face more struggles. That's a fact. And although you may have failed like all of us have failed, don't give up. Keep riding. Some of you are maybe here today and you've never known Christ personally. You can't ride for Him because you aren't riding with Him. Can I just encourage you? He died on a cross so that you could be forgiven, so that you could know Him personally, and so that you could ride with Him. Not only for a day, not only for a lifetime on this earth, but for eternity. And so again, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus personally. Listen, if you want to have the strength to hold on, if you want to have the strength to forgive, if you want to have the strength to move forward, if you want to have the strength to overcome the situations in life, listen, you need Him. He's your only hope. And so again, maybe that's you today. Maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus today. You say, Bo, how do I do that? Well, here's the simple truth. The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And so maybe right there in your chair, you just need to pray a simple prayer in your heart that says to the Lord, Lord, maybe you just pray this with me in your heart. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that You died on the cross so that I could be forgiven. And so today, I am giving You my life. I confess You as my Lord and I confess You as my Savior. Thank You for forgiving me and saving me from my sin. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it, not just with your mind, not because I led you, not because of anything else, but you know within, beyond a shadow of a doubt that you meant it with your heart because you want a personal relationship with Jesus. Can I just celebrate with you? Can I just say, if you prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life, you've made the greatest decision that you've ever made by accepting His invitation. And so, listen, we celebrate that. Again, we want to help you. We want to equip you to ride with Him and to ride for Him. And so today, as we close out, I know Wes and Jill are going to come. They're going to make a few announcements, but they're going to share with you the next step that you can take in your new ride with Christ. Lord, I come to you right now and I thank you for the opportunity to share truth with everybody, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to share the invitation that you've given all of us. And that's an invitation of salvation and forgiveness and strength and hope. And so, Lord, thank you for allowing us to share that through our church and every Sunday and everybody that we meet, Lord. May we be diligent and intentional in sharing that hope with others. Thank you for forgiving us. We give you all the glory. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this message. If you have made a commitment today or have questions, you can contact us at info@thousandhillsranch.church or 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.